So this next flashback is from about a month later, November 11th, 1988, and probably includes a second show. It's a little unclear, since I would catch clips of shows sometimes without catching the entire show. It begins at the beginning, in the middle of a, or not exactly at the beginning of the show, and features two, I believe, UCSC students who were arrested with us, and numerous students came down. In fact, as many as 20, 25, 30 students came down from UCSC for a student run, sleep out, and civil disobedient action at the town clock about 3 months later in February of 1989. These are two students, Jenny and Marie, who I don't remember much, but they speak about the issues. Then there's, in the subsequent discussion, and I think it's either the same program or another one called Hearing Voices. I think that's the name of the show. Again, out of KZSC, the student station, activist Charles Gray, who is a very articulate activist who had gone to El Salvador and done work down there, and who lived in a fashion where he only believed in using and expending his share of the world's resources, which meant spending no more than $120 a year or something on housing, food and clothing, and he did this in Santa Cruz by building his own house. And I was at his house once. It was an amazing kind of wooden construction, well done, two stories. It wasn't a regular house. It was a kind of a shed, more than a shed. It was a glorified shed. He later moved to Eugene, Oregon, and became an activist there in the mid 90s. And I since lost track of him. His wife was a strong proponent of El Salvadoran liberation and support when the United States was supporting the dictatorship's attempt to crush the El Salvador in the 80s Civil War. I was also on this show and supporting the right of the, supporting the struggle against the sleeping ban, which was the focus of our protests. We were concerned about all kinds of homeless civil rights issues, but the main focus that would draw people was this absurd law, which we still have, which makes it illegal to sleep after 11 o'clock at night until 8:30 in the morning on any public property and much private property, as well as in a vehicle, even if it's legally parked. The final speaker is Ray Glock Grunike, who at that time was a tireless attorney for homeless cases who declared he would take any homeless sleeping ban case without charge. And as a consequence of the overwork, I believe he eventually suffered some complaints that resulted in his being disbarred because he couldn't keep track of all his other cases, his money cases. This one's a longer piece. It goes on for about an hour and 45 minutes, and it's, I think it's got some useful and historically important information, and one of the main reasons I'm doing these flashback pieces is they don't appear anywhere else. I believe that some of these voices, I'd like to keep a historical record of them and make that available to those who want it. So in a way, my apologies to the audience, you're all a bunch of guinea pigs for this stuff. But I'm hoping that you can find some interesting parallels, I always say this for these flashbacks, between then and now, and also to see how difficult it is to move an intransigent, reactionary political establishment, and how doing so by rational argument simply is not enough. It just doesn't work. At least it didn't in this, and hasn't yet in this case. Although, and I would say we haven't even educated people about the existence of the sleeping ban. This requires mass mobilizations and frequent, visible protest. And we were doing that in 1988. And as a consequence, between 1990 and 1995, there was a sort of tolerated sleeping zone called, it later became known as the Coral Street Open Air Shelter or the Back 40, which is on the ground or at the junction of Highway 1 and River Street. And it was where people would go and sleep at night sort of surreptitiously. And the then Deputy Chief Dunbow would ignore them. And I guess so would Chief Jack Bassett, who was pretty notorious, although he was supposedly called in as a reform chief to deal with the police murders of homeless people that happened under Code Blue in the 70s and resulted in the firing and prosecution, unsuccessful prosecution, of six police officers in the early 80s. And so let's now hear the November 11th. This happened right after the city council elections, which supposedly brought in four liberal candidates, or actually three liberal and one conservative candidate, Mo Reisch, Don Lane, and Marty Wormhout, as well as conservative John Mahaney. But they were all reactionary and intransigent on the issue of the sleeping ban. Don Lane somewhat less so, but he quickly went along with the majority in order to get things done and not offend people and work with others and all that sort of thing. Plays well with the politicians, you know.